Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Sunday, June 4th, 2017. Today is Pentecost. I mentioned last week that often Pentecost is referred to as the birthday of the church. We've talked a little bit about Pentecost in the last few weeks, during Lent, I believe, some during the season of Easter, as we were working through some of the texts from the book of Acts. It is the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, and then they preached, or Peter at least, preached a sermon to many, many people who had gathered, and about 3,000 people were baptized that day, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. At least it always seems really amazing to me that number of people were baptized and then went back to their homes and took their experiences and took what they had heard and learned from what they had heard Peter say. And, you know, probably gave, not probably, but took that gospel and that good news out into the world with them. So it's the birthday of the church because it's really the beginning of the story and the gospel of Jesus spreading beyond just his immediate followers and those who knew him during his life and his ministry. So, I also mentioned last week that things have been a little bit crazy in my life and my husband's life, and it's a little better this week, but we're still kind of running around like chickens with our heads cut off, so I'm only going to do one episode again this week. I'll do all four texts today and then talk a little bit about Pentecost as a day. I hope to get back to the regularly scheduled four-part episode as soon as things settle down a little bit. Hopefully that will be in the next couple of weeks. In the meantime, thank you for bearing with me, and, you know, let me know if you prefer this format. I don't know if you like the four-part episode, the two-part episode, just the one-part episode. As I always say, you can hit me up on social media. I would love to hear from you if you have thoughts on the format, go ahead. I would love to hear them. In the meantime, we are going to get started with today's texts, the first of which is from the book of Acts, which is where we get the story of Pentecost, so it is appropriate. The first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place, they being the disciples, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in their own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before coming to the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So again, that is the Acts text, the actual Pentecost text telling the story of Pentecost. It is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And there are so many wonderful images in this text, from the tongues of fire appearing, the disciples being gathered, the ability to then begin speaking in other languages. All of those place names, you know, often when you ask parishioners to read lessons during the year, they're more than happy to do so, but they don't want to read on Pentecost because there are all those words that pop up and you have to figure out how to say them, and is there a right way to say them? And my Old Testament professor always just said, just read with confidence, because most of the people aren't going to know how to pronounce it either. They'll hear you say it with confidence and they'll say, oh, that's how that's pronounced. So instead of you stopping and kind of puzzling it out, you just say it with confidence and people will believe that's how it's said, because most people don't know how it's pronounced either. I also love that part of, well, no, that this isn't anything special. They're just filled with wine. Although I have never met anyone who was drunk who could suddenly spontaneously speak in other languages because they were intoxicated. If you've had that experience, please let me know. And Peter says, well, no, they're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. And which makes me think of that saying, well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. They probably didn't have that saying then, but this is a great story. And we read it, of course, on Pentecost because it tells that story of Pentecost. It's our first reading for today, followed by a reading from the Psalm. And that is Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34 and 35b. And those verses are as follows. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open their hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. And that is, again, the second reading for today. This is Sunday of Pentecost. It is Psalm 104, verses 24 through 34 and 35b. And it is, again, another text so full of wonderful imagery. We've got such wonderful texts for today in this celebratory day of Pentecost as we celebrate the church's birthday. This text is full of amazing images, even up to including Leviathan that God made for sport. You see this great sea beast, you know, just cavorting through the water. God made that beast for fun, for sport. We see it playing in the ocean, in the habitat that God made for it, and it is amazing. And then we see, you know, just all of the things that God created, how wonderful God is in wisdom, that God made the earth full of these creatures, that God made the sea full of these creatures. And even, it's not just people who are affected by God. Even the creatures, when you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. So even the creatures, all of God's creation reacts to God's amazing works, to God's gifts and abilities. So we do have two more readings assigned for today, but we are going to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll be reading the second New Testament reading assigned and then the gospel assigned for this Sunday of Pentecost. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the text assigned for today, June 4th, Pentecost Sunday, and we are now up to the second assigned New Testament reading, which comes from the book of 1 Corinthians. The verses are from chapter 12, verses 3b through 13. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongue, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. So again, that is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 3b through 13, and it is very easy to see why this is chosen for Pentecost Sunday, because it is full of the Holy Spirit, much like the disciples. We see all of these things that are given by the Holy Spirit, the varieties of gifts. And I talk about this a lot in the podcast, that, you know, we are all given gifts, and no two people are given the exact same combination of gifts. We are all unique. We are all made as God's beloved children. We're all brothers and sisters, but together we make up this beautiful whole, and our gifts work together to create that whole. So even though we don't have the same gifts as our neighbor, those gifts work together to, excuse me, I just bumped something on the studio. I apologize for that noise. Our gifts work together so that we can do God's work in this world. And just as the body is one but has many parts, you know, our hand doesn't do the same thing that our foot does. Our eyes don't do the same thing that our ears do. They all work together to create this whole. And that's the same way with the body of Christ. We have all been given the gift of the Holy Spirit through our baptism. We are all baptized into one family, into one body. And we are all given these gifts, and those gifts work together to do God's work, to be the body of Christ in the world. And so, again, we have such wonderful texts this morning. I could go on and on, but we only have a limited amount of time, so I'm going to move on to the gospel reading for today, which comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and it's verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Again, that's the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And once again, it's not hard to see why this text is chosen for to be the gospel on Pentecost Sunday. It's amazing the similarities to the Acts text. You know, once again, the disciples are gathered together in one place. In the Acts text, they are gathered together in a much more relaxed manner. Here in John, it is shortly after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection, but it's after Jesus' crucifixion, and they're still terrified. They still aren't sure what is going on. They've heard that Jesus has been resurrected, but they're probably not quite sure that they believe that yet. They're still terrified that they could be next, so they are gathered together. And the doors are locked, and they are in fear. And the first thing, of course, that Jesus says to them is, "Peace be with you." That is Jesus' constant message. Do not be afraid, and peace be with you. And then he shows them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced. And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is kind of the counterpart to the Acts story. This is Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit, and then by breathing on them, and then the image of the fire, the tongues of fire that appear above them in the Acts story is a bit more of a tangible symbol, one that they can see, and they are given the gift of tongues of fire, tongues as in other languages. So that's always an interesting play on words. As I mentioned before, Pentecost has always been one of my favorite stories. It's one of my favorite festivals of the church year. I mean, I love going to church on this Sunday. A lot of congregations encourage their parishioners to wear red. And so when I was in the parish as a pastor, I would stand up front and I would look out and I would just see this sea of people dressed in red, and the church is often decorated in a celebratory fashion, red and gold. And one year I set the baptismal font on fire, which sounds like an accident, but I did it on purpose. I didn't really set the baptismal font on fire. There's this way to do it that you can make it look like the water in the baptism in the font is burning, but it's not. It's more of an optical illusion. But you do have flame, and works really great for children's time. They thought I was pretty cool, even though I'm not. But hey, it's nice sometimes for somebody to think you're cool, right? I mean, hey, fire in church. Kids go for that stuff. But really, what's not to like about Pentecost? I mean, the account in Acts that we read has all of the elements of this fun and interesting story. You've got anticipation of Jesus' followers that are gathered together in that one place, and those gathered consisted of not just Jesus' immediate disciples. That's usually what we picture, right? Just Jesus' disciples gathered together, but that gathering actually consisted of 120 of Jesus' disciples, of Jesus' followers. That's a crowd in itself. That 120 included 11 apostles. It included Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers, as well as other followers and supporters of Jesus' ministry, both male and female. This is a mixed group of people. It is not a small group. It's not a small, nor is it an insignificant gathering. And as those gathered there wait for the promised Holy Spirit, they're engaged in prayer and discernment as they elect Matthias to replace Judas. And that's part of the story that we didn't read today. So they are gathered, they're waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, and they are electing someone else to take Judas's place among those 12 apostles, those 12 original followers of Jesus. It's a very different story from the gospel again, right? Because they're gathered in fear. Here they're gathered in prayer, they're gathered in discernment, they're gathered in anticipation. And the story begins with that anticipation and hope, and then it moves into drama and excitement as the Spirit arrives in the form of a violent wind that quickly moves through the house and turns into tongues of fire that appear and come to rest on each of those gathered there. This is a really visual story. You can imagine it so clearly when you stop and just, you know, it's like a movie playing in your head. It's a very, very visual story. That drama moves to astonishment as now each of those with the gift of the Spirit begins speaking in the languages of all the people who are gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost celebrations. I think my favorite part, as I said earlier, is that part where, you know, are they speaking in other languages because they're drunk? You can tell it's my favorite part because I'm bringing it up again, right? No, they're not drunk. It's only 9 a.m. But really, it's a great story. I love this story. And as I said, Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church, which gives us reason to celebrate. And who needs a reason to eat cake? But hey, we can take today as a reason to eat birthday cake, right? But this day and this event are much bigger than a simple celebration. They have much broader implications, even for us who are hearing this story again today, even though we've heard it numerous times, probably. It's easy to hear this story and hear all of the strong and happy elements in it. We hear the promises of Pentecost as deliverance, celebration, victory, strength, and that's not a bad thing. But we also have to remember that the promises of Pentecost also always come to us in the context of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and that the promised Holy Spirit is the presence of the crucified and risen Christ. That's why we have this paired with that story from the Gospel of John. It places this giving of the Holy Spirit, this coming of the Holy Spirit, into that context of fear and uncertainty, and Jesus coming to them and bringing peace and bringing that gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to talk more about these texts. We do have to take our second break of the podcast, so stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the texts assigned for Pentecost. And as I was saying before the break, we have to keep in mind the context of these happy and wonderful texts. And there's nothing wrong with these being happy and celebratory texts, but we do need to keep in mind the context that these promises and the Holy Spirit come within that context of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and that the promise of the Holy Spirit is the presence of the crucified and risen Christ. So because of this, the lives of those who follow Jesus were once again turned upside down on Pentecost. They are having a bit of a roller coaster of a time, right? They've seen their beloved mentor and teacher betrayed, arrested, and brutally killed. Then suddenly there's the resurrection. There is Jesus spending more time with them, and then ascending in front of them, leaving them once again, and then this coming of the Holy Spirit. They have been on an emotional roller coaster for quite some time. And when we think about it, you know, if the crucifixion had happened without the resurrection, the disciples and followers could have simply returned to their old lives after Jesus' death. I mean, you know, they would have mourned, they would have been devastated, but they could have gone back to their previous careers as fishermen or whatever jobs they were doing before Jesus called them. You can almost hear them explaining to their friends and family how they had this amazing and remarkable experience traveling with Jesus, but, you know, now it's over. You know, how now that he's dead, they're ready to come home and take over the family business and get back to the lives that they had before Jesus had appeared and disrupted them. But as we know, Jesus' death was not the final note in this story. And in fact,
Jesus' resurrection isn't even the final note, because although Jesus has ascended and is no longer with his followers and his disciples, he still sends the Holy Spirit to them. And the coming of the Spirit means that the disciples' lives are about to be disrupted once again. They are now going to be sent out throughout the ancient world to take that message that God has redeemed the world through an itinerant preacher, through Jesus. This itinerant preacher from the backwaters of Palestine who was executed for treason and blasphemy. This is their mission. Go and take this message that God has redeemed the world through an itinerant preacher from the backwater of Palestine who was executed for treason and blasphemy. When we look at it in this light, we can see that the Holy Spirit doesn't exactly solve the disciples' problems so much as it really creates more for them. And that can be true for us as well as those early disciples. And then, as if it weren't enough, as if this all weren't enough, something that I read recently really stuck with me about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. There was a sentence that jumped out at me as I was reading commentaries, and that sentence was, "The Holy Spirit doesn't prevent failure, but invites it." Think about that for a second. How is that helpful? We might ask, you know, what? And the commentary went on to explain how the Holy Spirit invites us to find fulfillment and victory in and through our setbacks and our failures. And then the article described how learning from our mistakes and setbacks is how we are challenged to find new solutions to situations that we face in life. So here's the paradox. I read this and it makes absolute sense to me. Of course we learn from our mistakes. I can even understand what the author was talking about in saying that the Holy Spirit invites us into failure by inviting us to learn from those mistakes, right? After all, most people at that time, and maybe even now, would have seen the crucifixion as this colossal failure in what they believed that Jesus had come here to do. If you think about it, we are here today because of how God worked through what might have been seen not just as a setback, but as a major failure in order to bring us the greatest gift of grace that the world has ever known. So, pastorally, I absolutely get that. Yes, God can work through any situation. God does work through any and every situation. I know this in my heart to be true. But there's another part of me, and I've talked about this part before, the other part of me that sees that word failure and reacts with immediate dread. My palms start to sweat a little bit. My breathing becomes shallow. I start thinking about making lists. I need lists. And it's been pointed out to me on more than one occasion that I'm a little bit OCD, I'm not saying I'm diagnosed OCD. You know, people throw that term around a lot. Another word for that might be anal. I tend to be a bit of a perfectionist, and I know this. I know that not so much, you know, I have to have everything perfect, but I always try to do things right. And I can be afraid of trying something if I don't think I will do it well or do it right. I don't want to start something if I don't think I'm going to do it right. In other words, I don't like failure. No matter how much I know I can learn from the experience and that it will be beneficial from me, that no one ever does anything exactly right the first time, that you have to learn from your mistakes, I don't like failure. And so whenever I think about these things, I just start, as I said, I get a little anxious. And I don't tell you this so that, you know, you'll feel sorry for me or feel weird for me or whatever, but I tell you this hopefully to illustrate some of the things that I am coming to realize about Pentecost and about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because, yes, there are moments when I fear failure. There are a lot of moments in my life when I fear failure, especially right now as we're in transition and things are a little bit crazy. But even stronger, I hope, than that fear is the promise that at my baptism, when I was brought into the family of God, I was given that gift of the Holy Spirit. I was given the promise that God loves me so much that I wasn't just created and left to fend for myself. No, God first gave me the gift of Jesus, who became incarnate and brought me the gift of grace through his life, death, and resurrection. And then, as if that's not enough, God gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit so that I would never be alone as I went through life, trying to live out the calling that I had been given by God. God gives these gifts to each and every one of us. Ultimately, really, though, it's neither up about us or up to us. God is the creator, sustainer, and redeemer of the entire universe, just like we read in the psalm for today, right? And only God can bring that kind of redemption that we long for and we need. Our job is simply to partner with God, God's work, wherever we can discern it. That's why we've been given those gifts that we talked about in that reading from 1 Corinthians. If the cross teaches us nothing else, it teaches us that success will not always look like success, and victory may sometimes come disguised as defeat. For some of us, that might seem wonderful and sound liberating, while for others, it might seem scary and uncertain, but it is actually good news. The coming of the Spirit might be disruptive. It's often disruptive, right? And it might seem like it causes more problems than it solves when it first happens. But when we remember that it's not simply about us, but rather about God and God's work and God's mission in the world, then we realize that no matter what the Spirit may call us to do, we are not alone. God may call us to challenging situations, and we're going to make mistakes during those challenging situations, but we are also secure in the knowledge that whatever the immediate results of our efforts, both our hopes and our future are secured not by our abilities, but by God's promise. And that is truly a reason to celebrate and maybe even eat cake. So I'm going to wrap things up. I want to thank you for joining me today on this Sunday of Pentecost. I hope you'll join me again next week when we talk about the texts that are assigned for Holy Trinity Sunday. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on Stitcher, and you can follow me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram, GSMC Bible Study. Come and chat with me, please. Have a good week. Please join me next week for Holy Trinity Sunday. And in the meantime, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God, and that is a reason to celebrate and eat cake or chocolate or whatever it is that you celebrate with. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.